She's coming back. Yeah.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab.
Welcome to Stab. Welcome. Let's meet our contestants. Please welcome to stage. First, Luke Soyn. Luke Soyn. Luke. Woo-hoo-hoo. Benjamin Rice. Ben Rice. And the prettiest of them all, Jesse Jones. Jesse. Jesse Jones.
Luke Soyn. I don't know. That's not true.
Welcome.
Gentle
peoples. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hi,
How
guys.
Are you? Good. Good. We're all glad to be here.
Hi. Thanks. Okay. We didn't get straight to it?
Yeah.
Is that what's going to happen?
Fuck off.
You know what?
Oh.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Ben Rice is
Let's meet everyone really quickly. Really quickly. Luke Soyn.
Hi.
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 Luke Soyn.
Hi.
You have a new podcast up since the last time you've been on the show.
Which you were on.
I was on the second episode.
Second or third
episode.
I don't remember yet.
I didn't contribute much. I'm sorry.
You did. You said stuff.
I said some things.
Yeah. It's Epic Tiki's Take, the podcast.
The podcast.
Because it was a video and it was too much work, so I switched it to podcast.
Yeah, very good. That's what we did. Sure. We were a full-on orchestra before Stab. It was a Stab orchestra. We're like,
nice.
Too much.
Well, that was expensive, probably.
It was. Lots of brass.
Yeah.
Lots of brass.
Lots of wind.
Gold.
Lots of wind. Wind woods.
Yeah.
Our reed budget was out of control.
Did you get lost in the reeds? No, all right.
I understand.
I'm going to stop.
Luke Soyn, I don't know if you knew this about Luke Soyn. He's about to go pro. Did you know that? He's
good for you.
So very good. Luke, thank you for being here. Benjamin Rice.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me back.
Is your name short for Benjamin?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Ben.
There's no Benjur.
Benjamin is a long form of Ben, correct.
Is
yes.
Is Benjamin the proper...
Birth certificate says Benjamin.
Benjamin or Ben German?
I'm not German. Leave me alone.
All right. You guys don't know if you knew this about Ben Rice. He probably did it. He probably
safe to
did
say.
It.
Yeah.
You could assume...
Fair.
Please refer to previous episodes.
Yes. Jesse Jones.
Yeah.
You're here.
Woo!
Yeah. Huh?
Everyone
knows that's the guy.
Oh. 60% of the crowd on their phones. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Well, I'm kidding. Thank you for being here.
That's what
just
happens
pay.
When
just
we...
Make sure you pay.
It's what happens when we open an Instagram account 5 minutes before the show. So,
well,
at least I hope that's what happens.
Instagram.
They're just doing what they're supposed to. They're following.
Yeah,
very good. Thank you, guys. Be on your phones. I'm just busting your...
It's at Stab Show.
Busting your balls.
Hashtag Instabgram.
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 Is it?
Hashtag.
Okay, it is
hashtag.
Now.
Ben Rice names all of our things.
He does. Ben Rice is the namer of...
Yeah. Stab Cuts, Instabgram. He's nailing it.
He is...
Yeah. I'm good with names. Mikey Winfield's birthday show.
That's right, that's tonight.
Good with names.
Jesse Jones, I don't know if you knew this about Jesse Jones,
probably
but
not.
He figured out a way that you can take it all with you.
Nope.
I don't know if you knew that. So nice. Talk to him after the show.
It is slightly painful.
we're gonna play Stab. Let's play Stab. Okay.
Yay.
Okay. Ow. Okay. Okay.
For you.
Ooh. This first segment is called This Was... Today once, Luke Soyn, your first because of math. And math works. That was your line.
He touched me. I didn't know if my jacket said math on it, but it doesn't, so I don't know why.
On this date, Luke, on this date,
yeah.
986, Louis V becomes King of the Franks.
Wow.
Woo. Also on this very date, 1977, Chris Martin, English singer, songwriter, producer, Coldplay, is born. How did you celebrate the aforementioned in tandem?
Wait, before I get there, did you know that 986 was 1,001 years before I was born?
Really?
That's kind of neat.
That is neat.
Okay. All right. So what I did, well, Louis the Fifth, or Louis, I don't know what they used to call it, was the king of the Franks. So I wanted to also be one of those, you know, a king of the Franks. My budget and influence are low, though, so I decided to be just a king of some Franks. So I went to two places today, the bowling alley and the VA, because those are the two places with the most Franks in a city. I checked. I don't have time to talk about what happened at the VA. It was crazy, though. But this is what happened at the bowling alley. I walked in and I shouted, "Hey, are any of you guys Franks? I want to be king of you guys. If you're schlubby and balding, and most importantly, if your name is Frank, I want you to be my subjects." And they stirred slightly. Then I said, "You know what? Fuck it. I'll take the skinny Franks who are all the way bald too. And the Franks who are pretty much in shape except for a small belly poking out but with all the hair on their head still." Then they stirred a little more. "Also, if your last name is Frank and you kind of talk like this and you have severe opinions on which pizza in your hometown is better, I'll take you guys too. Also, if..." I'll drop the accent. "Also, if you're... if you are or have ever been into eating beef Franks, you can also come." They stirred a little more, but I wasn't sure if my message was really getting to them, so I continued, "You know what? Fuck it. If you've ever had to be very direct or straightforward with someone about a serious issue or your language in delivering your opinion on said issue was without misdirection or subterfuge, in other words, being frank, I want you. Because you know what? You're a Frank too. Maybe not in name, maybe not in gender." There were some ladies there. "But in spirit." And after all that, someone burped, and a tall can of Olympia or Steel Reserve fell over and did that rolling thing cans do when they fall over and it's super quiet. Then one of the larger Franks fell out of his bar stool and cracked his head open. So I ordained one of the Franks there to be my royal apothecary. And he probably didn't learn enough medical stuff to help the guy who fell over in time, so that guy's probably dead now. My first dead subject. I framed him like one of those first dollar bills in a restaurant. Okay, did I fail him? Maybe. But now there is a Frank going to medical school because of me. Because he was traumatized by not being able to save a fellow Frank. And that to me is a victory. So while that one guy was dying, I shouted to the rest of them, "I am now the king of you!" And mostly they just kept drinking or passed out from being drunk already. Most Franks are alcoholics. I don't know if you know that, John.
I did not.
Where I lost my place. But then I was all like, "Hey, I have chili cheese dogs and beers, which I can't drink because I'm gluten intolerant, so don't worry, I won't drink it. It's all for you guys." And then like four of them woke up and followed me outside to a double-decker Hollywood See the Stars bus that I remodeled for them. And I got so lost in the whole assembling a culture of Franks that I forgot it was Chris Martin's birthday. So I loaded a YouTube video of a Coldplay album and played that for them as we drove here. And then I just sort of left them in that alley behind us listening to Coldplay. And what I learned today is that I'm not a good king, but I have a royal apothecary, so that is neat. His name is Dr. Frank.
Very good, Luke. Soyan. Luke Soyan.
Did I ever say enough stuff?
You did.
Okay.
Thank you. I approve. I approve of it. Take a drink. Are you really gluten intolerant? Really? Mm. Sorry about that. So vulnerable on stage.
Yep. it sucks.
Benjamin.
Yep, that's me.
Yeah, you guys, you done? You guys done over there? Okay.
Yep.
Ben, on this date, 1962, John Bon Jovi, American singer, songwriter, guitarist, producer, was born. Also on this date, 1925, Japan's House of Representatives recognizes male suffrage. Male suffrage. How did you celebrate these two events in tandem?
All right. So today, I got out and cock rocked the vote. Not sure if you know this, John, but every birthday, John Bon Jovi is up for re-election for mayor of Bon Joviville.
Really?
A town discussed in Stab, episode 5, Bitch Circus! And also episode 14, Best of Stab, volume 1, I Can Hazmat Suit? For a quick refresher about that, You can check out the video on Stab's YouTube page or on Stab Cuts, available on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud, or at stabforgold.com. That's stab, the number 4, gold.com.
We are proud of this show.
Yeah.
But for your convenience, all is included here. But before I begin, just imagine it's populated instead by a bunch of Japanese dudes in Bon Jovi cover bands. And if you decide the song is now called Wanted Dead or Arrive,
oh boy,
or that this is all happening in Bon Jovi reel, you're racist, not me.
Very good. Oh.
Welcome to Bon Joviville, a little New Jersey living just a steel horse rides away. Imagine if you could run away to the most gorgeous and pristine mansions this or that side of the Mississippi. And whoa, you're halfway there.
Ben Rice is inceptioning this show.
Yes. Living on a prayer.
Is this cheating?
That's right. Here at Bon Joviville, we found a way to manifest your innermost wishes, desires, and deepest, darkest secrets into your own one-of-a-kind dream home.
This is so creepy,
because
hearing your voice your and seeing your face not move.
It's now or never. You're not going to live forever.
I want to hear real singing.
You just want to live where you belong. And where you belong is in a secure sky fortress amongst the angels.
I'm starting to get the feeling we're going to
Was that Nick Pettigrew's
voice? Of rock and roll Hall of Famer John Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
As an added bonus, you'll find everything as pristine as John's luscious locks themselves. That's because here at Bon Joviville, we do an annual spring steening. That's that famous New Jersey hospitality.
It does seem like cheating.
But be careful, the floors are slippery.
Is this supposed to be a director's cut? Or
I'm not sure
a commentary track?
You
should be saying so.
Wouldn't it be weird if my son called you right now?
But if you're not ready to settle down and make the move to Bon Joviville, that's okay. Take your time.
I'm going to skip ahead when I listen to this again.
It's not going to be in the edit.
Our very own fortune teller.
This will be fine.
Everyone's enjoying it. Brand new six string, bought it at the five and dime, and you'll see what your future holds. Spoiler alert, you want it.
You guys couldn't edit that out?
It's the town that wants to be with you. Deep inside, I know you feel
that's
it
Mr.
too. Those last two references weren't to Bon Jovi songs.
Okay, it does literally say on the paper,
really
play Bon Jovi Bill.
It's like that time Nick Domke played Pokemon on stage at Comedy Spot for 5 minutes and didn't say any jokes.
Who did that?
Nick Domke.
Dead or alive.
Arrive.
Very good. Very, very, very good, Ben.
Anyway, so yeah.
Oh, it's not over. Not over.
So yeah, I cast my vote for Anthony Kiedis. I just gave it away now.
You said you went and sang. Ben Rice.
Sorry.
Jesse Jones. Yeah. On this date, 2011, in his book, Jesus of Nazareth, Part 2, Pope Benedict XVI exonerates the Jewish people for the responsibility of the death of Jesus. Also on this very date, 1983, compact discs and players are released for the first time in the United States and other markets. They had previously only been available in Japan. How did you celebrate the aforementioned events in tandem?
Well,
obviously I started the day by forgiving Japan. Specifically for depriving the world of compact disc technology for as long as it had. And let me tell you, it felt really good. I hadn't realized how much frustration I had pent up inside me for this 33-year-old slight until I finally released it, you know? It was liberating. So I decided I would spend the rest of the day, by the power vested in me by absolutely no one, showering my forgiveness down upon those whose actions for so long have weighed heavily upon me. And Japan. Some more. Because Japan's done a lot of, until now, crazily unforgivable things. So, first I forgive Oscorp founder and CEO Norman Osborn for the senseless murder of Gwen Stacy in issue 121 of The Amazing Spider-Man. It was tragic, yes, but you can scarcely be faulted for your actions under the influence of your own goblin formula.
I'm lost.
I forgive Japan for the invention of tentacle porn. That doesn't mean I have to like it or even begin to understand it at all, but somehow people enjoy it, so they're forgiven. I forgive Joss Whedon for cruelly and surprisingly murdering Hoban Washburn in Serenity, the motion picture follow-up to the cult television series Firefly. Just take this forgiveness quickly and quietly before I have a chance to rescind it. Go in peace now, Joss, and harm no beloved characters again. I also want to forgive Japan for the following. Shrimp-flavored snacks. Ooh. Unleashing the unstoppable thunder lizard Godzilla upon the world with no hope of ever stopping its devastating reign of terror. And for schoolgirl panties and vending machines. I get it. I mean, some things sound really good on paper. But when you finally see them in practice, you understand maybe this is a bad idea. We all make weird, confusing, wildly tasteless mistakes, Japan. You're forgiven.
Very good. This was Today Once. This show's still called Stab. And Heather's going to the bathroom. This next segment is called Top 5 Google Searches of...
All right.
Gentlemen. Please have composed the top 5 Google searches of, from the perspective of, the Tootsie Pops Mr. Owl. If Mr. Owl from the Tootsie Pops commercial could search Google, what would he search? One at a time. Top 5. Luke Soyan, go ahead.
All right. My first one is veneer beaks, because he crunches with his... Get it?
I got it.
This was hard.
It was.
That was good. I liked it.
Before I begin, I'd like to say that I think this should have been the top 3 Google searches of the Tootsie Pops Mr. Owl. Number 1, kids say the darndest things.
My first from Mr. Owl.
Does the Tootsie Pop perhaps represent us as creatures on this planet? In this question?
All right. Yeah. You guys are totally making it work.
This is a long road, but we'll get there.
I feel like this one we should do the 5 straight through. I
like mine being broken up. It's
I don't like changing the format of the show in the middle. Who are you?
3. Hayden, we should do 3 Hayden of them. It should be right in a row.
All right. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. The next one was... if Mr. Turtle doesn't have teeth, why the fuck did he make that kid ask me this question?
See?
Yeah.
That was a good one.
It didn't say that in my notes, but I fixed it just now.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right. So, again, mine are better sequentially. So, as a reminder, the first one, kids say the darndest thing.
Okay.
2.
Oh, really?
The Oh, Really Owl meme, guys. 2003.
My second.
Do then licks somehow represent deeds, perhaps? Good or bad, which we perform along our life's path?
Heather Damon, back from the bathroom. You only missed 2 run-throughs of this. And we're on the third.
Okay, here's my third one is... So wait, there's numbers after 3?
My third one, is that your final answer? Again, in sequence, it'll all make sense.
Okay. Mm. We'll wait for it.
So then, is the journey to the Tootsie Roll center of the Tootsie Pop then... represent our immortal soul and our quest for enlightenment and self-discovery?
Luke.
Sorry, it's still funny to me. This one is like several hours after the last one, and he's like really into the shit, like math now, and he's figuring out all about it. What the fuck is an imaginary number?
Very good. He's an owl. He's deep. He's wise. Yes.
Number 4. You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Okay.
Does stealing the child's Tootsie Pop and devouring it then symbolize a loss of innocence? And the universe's inherent quest to steal and devour our souls?
All right, my
number five.
My last one goes with the last one, which was my fourth one. If I lick an imaginary amount of times, did I lick anything at all?
So deep.
Number five. No, but seriously, how many?
And then finally, after this existential journey, does anyone actually like chocolate flavored hard candy?
That was the top five Google searches of probably one of the best segments we've ever had.
Probably.
This next segment should work a little better. It's called Reorganization. Please take this existing acronym and reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? In honor of it being National Kidney Month, please take Hep C's acronym of HVC. HVC.
Oh, yeah. With pleasure. Like those who experienced it and then got it. Just kidding. I feel like I cheated, but I wanted to make this weird thing make work. So it stands for Hidden Vowels / Consonants Quarterly. Now, the / consonants part is all part of the V, the vowels.
Okay.
And then quarterly is C, and I'll explain that in a minute. So it's a monthly magazine written by... Wait, quarterly? Whatever. A monthly magazine written... He's crazy. Written by a conspiracy theorist about words he thinks are hiding vowels and consonants. This is the description written by the creator, owner, and sole writer of Hidden Vowels / Consonants Quarterly, Frank Underhuset. That's just a name I made
Frank.
Up. Yeah, he's one of my loyal subjects. Right. So that was in my notes here. He's a Frank. I met him at the VA. So this is part of the VA story you didn't
okay.
get? Is this guy? Okay. It's quite a culture we're developing in Frankotopia. All right. Welcome to HVC.com. This is the letter. Welcome to HVC.com or Hidden Vowels / Consonants Quarterly.com. As you may have noticed, quarterly is spelled C-W-A-R-T-E-R-L-Y to illustrate that the deceitful nature of most words in our lexicon, brothers. You see, words cannot be trousted. Many of them are harboring many of them are harboring fugitives like an old-timey train full of hobos. It's unsettling to be reading a centennialence only to be ambush-whacked by extraneous symbols. How unsettling is it to be read-wing-dinging Harry Potter and the First Order of the Phoenix, Arizona, only to realize that there are parasitic characters hiding out like a bunch of ninjas between the pages. Those ninjas. That's why I, Frank Underhuset, started this Charlotte's website over a Chinese New Year ago to spotlight the mad worldness of this dilemma Haney. We Colonel Mustard stop this now, before the problem spread your legs is to other languages. Can you even immanse Chinese theater, Jin, what the Chinese language would look like with even more characters in a leading roles? In a sense of Cantonese or Mandarin? I don't know if... I didn't think it was going to make sense, but I'm going to do it. All right.
Do it.
All right. I mean, can you even Readelphia this? It's a real world 15 problem. Real World Philadelphia was number 15. People say I'm just ad-ling-ding all these extra read-all-about-it vowels and consonants to my sentences. Well, I'm not! And I don't have written Tourette's. Fuck-ass cock gobble dick. Please help end this conspiracide. Donate to my Patreon. $1 a month is all we ask and ye shall receive. For just that $1 a hair time of the month, you will get exclusive access Hollywood to all of my Arcticticals, posts, and blogs on the physite against this scarary happenstand and deliverance. That's a good one if you guys think about it. I promise to remain ever vigilante known as Batman and to report on this growing issue for your tissue. Sincerely, Frank Underhuset.
Very good, Luke. Edgar got it. Edgar, Edgar said he got it. Edgar got it.
Thank you, Edgar. Thank you.
You keep talking. I mean, not right now.
He's wearing a weird tie.
That's a weird tie.
Sorry.
Edgar tied.
Now, Ben Rice, we had a little quarrel before the show in regards to the acronym of
HVC.
HVC. He said it was HCV, and then tried to correct me about it. Then we pulled it up, and it seems that it's both.
It's both.
HVC or HCV.
I did a very light Google search, and it just kept saying HVC just is like bird noises, bird noises, bird noises. I'm like, I'm not going to read any more of this. This is wrong. So I put in HVC Hep C because that's the clue you gave me. And it's like, did you mean HCV Hep C? I'm like, apparently. Huh. So I have changed. I wanted to change the top five Google searches to three and do them all in a row. And now I want to change your acronym to HCV. I'm taking over STAB.
It's your world.
This is mine.
Do it.
I live in it. So my acronym is HCV.
Okay.
Fuck all you HVCers out there. Ever wish you could get sick and miss work with all the missing work and none of the vomiting, sweating, and diarrhea? What if you could get the stomach flu and lose not just water weight, but actually shed fat and gain muscle? Well, you're in luck thanks to the God-blessed angels at Monsanto. Through the use of questionable but effective genetic science, through the use of science, they found a convenient alternative for the common cold. They're called HCVs, or healthful, cruelty-free viruses. All the internal rot, none of the side effects. Talk to your doctor about HCVs today. Healthful, cruelty-free viruses. Side effects include bad breath, glaucoma, liquidized bowels, and loss of your immortal soul.
That's a lot of... Very good. Full disclosure also on my part, I can't call you out for fucking things up. When I also said, in honor of kidney month, hepatitis has nothing to do with the kidneys. This is liver.
A lot of leaps being made.
Organs. You know.
Yeah, it's fine. I didn't look that part up.
We'll redact. Jesse Jones, HVC. What do we got?
I need a second mic.
Oh, my God.
Somebody went to AV Town again.
All right. From the people who brought you America's Funniest Home Videos and Driver's Ed favorite, Blood on the Asphalt, comes True TV, comes True TV's newest wacky disaster footage show, HVC, or Horrible, Horrific Vehicular Catastrophes. Horrific Vehicular Catastrophes. Hosted by Mario Lopez, HVC brings True TV's audience the funniest, most horrific car, truck, motorcycle, and quad bike accidents ever caught on tape. Of course, to get around FCC decency standards, the producers of HVC have replaced all the flying dismembered limbs and decapitated heads with wacky cartoon body parts drawn over the top of the carnage. Here's a clip from last week's brand new episode, Big Rig, Big Mess.
Microphone's on that side of the... Okay.
Edit point.
Yeah. Should we rehearse this next time?
No.
Nope.
Just push the 15-second button, everyone. Just one time.
All right. There. We're going to make this work no matter what. All right. It's not going to be as loud as I want. That's fine. Okay. Uh-oh. Looks like Doug the Drunk wandered into freeway traffic again. Look out for that truck, Doug. Oh, looks like it's clean up on aisle Doug.
Worth it.
Yeah, it always is. It's always worth it.
So if you have no regard for human life and you need a good laugh, just tune into True TV's Horrific Vehicular Catastrophes. Every night at 9... right after Small Claims Court's Sexiest Cases. Hosted by Yasmeen Bleeth.
Very good. That was reorganization. The stat next.
It's louder in that mic.
It is.
Way louder.
Much louder in that mic.
This next segment is called Vows to an Asshole. Congrats, everyone. You're finally getting married to that asshole we've all heard so much about. Now let's hear those vows. Luke Soyan, you'll be marrying a landlord you owe back rent to. Landlord that you owe back rent to.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
Mrs. Ursula, how could I have known that after this cruel 24-month lease that you bully me into, because it usually is only for about 6 months, that I would have fallen so hard for you? Sure, I literally fell hard out of my rickety fire escape, which you failed to repair after so many late-night requests from me, your hapless tenant. But that day was the best day of my young Puerto Rican life. As I fell into your meaty arms, your meaty peasant arms, probably used to rip turnips out of the ground in your country of origin. Sorry, I got distracted. But as I fell, my life flashed before me. But not my life up to that point, but the life that I know I will share with you. An amazing life full of endless nagging. Where is my money, bitch? Where is my money, bitch? Ah, this is sweet music to my ears. And when you ask me, I will reply, it is right here. And I will gesture to my penis. And you will still say, where is my money, bitch? Maybe because you are blind in one eye and partially blind in the other. Or maybe it is because you are deaf from that time the Harrison kids threw a cherry bomb at both your ears simultaneously. But I know after months and months of not being paid on time, you will find it in your big ox-like heart that will never give out to understand why it is that I do not have the money, bitch. I know I have had excuses, but this time I have a really good one. That record player was on sale and I really wanted to listen to that new Taylor Swift album on vinyl. You know how I love her, but not as much as I love you, Mrs. Ursula. I look forward to moving into your two-bedroom cockroach-infested flat, where we will make many multicultural babies who will run around the apartment and annoy all the other neighbors. I love you, Mrs. Ursula. I love you.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful, Luke. That was beautiful. Ben Rice, the asshole that you'll be marrying is the American political process. The American political process. Let's hear your vows to that asshole.
Oh, American political process, as we reach across the aisle to stand here side by side to declare our deepest devotion to one another in sickness and in health, so long as the health care is not provided via a single-payer system, I think we can all agree, till death, impeachment, or losing in a historic landslide shall we part. I can't help but think back to when we first met, me, an idealistic 17-year-old in a social studies class, learning that marriage was between one man and one vote, that the majority rules and Democrats drool, that abstinence is the only way to avoid unwanted children who would later grow up to vote with their hearts. But if you're going to have sex anyway, you have to be sure you have a quorum, or else that's rape. It was a simpler time then, when I was 17, about to face the world alone for the first time. But then I met you, APP, a 220-year-old ideal, worn and tattered by time but proud. And when we got together, it was magical. Sure, you cheated on me almost immediately in 2000, but I know you were just desperate for my attention. You wanted to make me believe that anything was possible. And in 2008, you gave me change I could believe in. But thanks to the actions of a few of your closest friends, nothing did. And in 2012, I almost left you for someone a little safer, but less exciting. But where was the fun in that? So I stayed. And now it's 2016, and I was forced to make a decision. So I pulled my friends, and to my great surprise and joy, 46% of respondents were totally on board with this marriage. Sure, 42% were against it, and 4% had no opinion, and the margin of error is 6%, and I'm pretty sure you just talked shit about my other suitors and maybe even paid some people off, And sure, a lot of my rich friends didn't always have my best interests in mind, but the people have spoken. So I'm here to say to you, American political system, old and broken as you may be, that I'm down with APP. Yeah, you know me.
Mm. Very good. Ben Rice. Jesse Jones, the asshole you will be marrying is a catchy radio jingle.
Yeah.
That asshole.
I'm trying to clean this
a
up.
A catchy radio jingle.
This is it! The event you've been waiting for is finally here! This once-in-a-lifetime opportunity cannot be missed! You've tried other suitors, only to be let down by misleading claims, unfulfilled promises, and tiny, useless dongs. Well, those days are a thing of the past. Now that you've met your perfect life mate forever. Yes, your perfect life mate forever. That's your perfect life mate forever. That's right, your perfect life mate forever. Divorced? Unemployed? Down on your luck? No problem. Your perfect life mate forever will never leave you for the lifetime of this commitment. And now that you've met your perfect life mate forever, you'll wonder how you ever made it this long without it. I do. And you should too. With your perfect life mate forever. Your perfect life mate forever is not responsible for loss, damage, or stolen property. Happiness is neither guaranteed nor implied by your perfect life mate forever or any your perfect life mate forever subsidiaries. Infidelity has been reported in 88% of your perfect life mate forever unions. Employees or family members of your perfect life mate forever are ineligible for happiness. Your perfect life mate forever will not wear one of those because your perfect life mate forever can't feel anything when they wear them. Your perfect life mate forever is varying between 3 and 7 sexually transmitted diseases. Your specific disease will vary depending on your perfect life mate forever. Do not take your perfect life mate forever internally. If your perfect life mate forever comes in contact with eyes, see a doctor immediately. All sales finally. Final. Void where prohibited. Not available in the contiguous United States or territories. When it comes to marriage, there's nothing better than your perfect life mate. Forever.
That was to an asshole. This brings us to our final segment of the evening called Department of Tourism. Department of Tourism, again, congratulations. You've all been hired as the tourism director of the following cities. Please make us want to come and or live there. I don't know. Luke Soyan. Yeah. I know this is going to hurt. This is probably hurt you to write. The name of your city that I've given you is Comic Books Don't Exist Adelphia. Comic Books Don't Exist Adelphia.
I didn't really know how to go out this one, so I wrote it during the last show, but
perfect.
We'll see how it goes. Welcome to Comic Books Don't Exist Adelphia. What a long and strange name that is, you might be saying. Well, we don't know what the fuck it means either, since comic books don't exist. I mean, what the fuck even is that? Like a funny book? Like a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy or something? That wouldn't make any sense. Might as well call this place Googly Boogly Island. Or Hara Lama Ding Dong, Don't Spit on My Fling Flong Town. Because those are also nonsense names too. That was redundant. But enough about our name. You probably can't wait to hear all about this amazing town. When visiting Comic Books Don't Exist Adelphia, you might want to check out our Neither Do Picture Books Town Square. Similarly nonsensically named. There you will find a lovely fountain made out of unicorns and Sasquatches because those things fucking exist. After that, take a dip in our wonderful community pool located in our beautiful There Are No Beaches in the World Park. And, okay, fine, beaches exist. But we're landlocked, so fuck them. Being in Nebraska is bullshit. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. You guys won't come here. I can't believe I ever moved here for love. Fucking Denise. Sorry. I'm supposed to make you want to come here. Can you fucking believe she moved back to Laguna Beach? Sorry. Okay. let's see. We also have Video Games Are Wrong, But They Do Exist Arcade. It's one of the most extensive collections of Nickelodeon machines in the world. We have more than fucking Disneyland. Oh God, I miss Disneyland. Denise took me there for the first time. You can also find a nice pair of wooden shoes at What Even Is a TV Clog Center. You'll be so comfortable in your city-mandated stiff-as-fuck shoes that everyone wears. They say because it's so everyone is safer.
so no one can sneak up on you. I say they fucking hurt my feet. Denise left her hair in my exhaust pipe. They caught on fire and, well, that's why I have this horribly burned face. I guess you could say she left her mark on me. And my car. And my old home. That reminds me, while you're here, stay in my bed and breakfast. Denise, come back to me, please. I'll forgive you. Bed and breakfast trailer park. Yes, I live in a trailer. Don't come here, guys. Only sadness will happen. Only sadness.
Luke Soyan. One more time for Luke Soyan. Very good. Ben Rice.
That's me.
Bring part of this show home. Mm. With Microbrewatucket. Microbrewatucket. Ben.
I can't believe I have to try to convince you to come to Microbrewatucket. For years, we were a must-see destination. We were rivaling the big boys. But thanks to Dude Bros, Brew Bikes, and a town-wide creative rut, audiences have soured on us. But we've soured our beers. Aw, snap. But no, we've been losing tourists to places. We've been losing tourists to places like Craft Cocktailtopia, the Pabst Blue River, and locally sourced fresh-squeezed organic juiceotopolis. On behalf of Microbrewatucket, I'd like to apologize for that unfortunate hop-bombing raid we've been on the last few years. I want to let you know that the beer drones are being put out to pasture, and we're going to focus on balance and flavor and letting you enjoy a quiet summer day with your family with a crisp, refreshing session IPA or your new favorite, Berliner Weiss. But you can still get sloshed beyond recognition during the winter holidays with our famous bourbon barrel-aged stouts, clocking in at over 13% alcohol by volume. There's something for everyone without a gluten allergy, Luke Soyan. Here at Microbrewatucket. Find out more about Microbrewatucket by checking out my new beer podcast, Barley and Me. Available on iTunes and Stitcher. Shirts coming soon from Zed Threads. I'm the host, comedian Ben Rice. Like us on Twitter and Instagram at BarleyandMePod. Email questions, comments, and concerns to BarleyandMePodcast@gmail.com. I'd like to thank the artist Breeze, that's Breeze, B-R-E-E-Z, for the theme music. The track is called Jam Rock. And shout out to Jessica DeMessio for the awesome logo. Barley and Me. Spoiler alert, the beard dies at the end.
Very good, Ben. German.
Who didn't see that coming?
Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones, please end the show.
Yeah.
Be the bullet in the head of this episode.
I have felt that for 20 minutes.
Jesse Jones, Department of Tourism, please make us want to come to the city that we gave you called A Field. A Field. Make us want to come to a field.
Problem is, I sort of have to choose a different voice because I was going to go with one very similar to Ben's.
Oh. So. Can we choose the voice?
I guess.
Eastern European.
Oh, no.
That's not a voice spinner?
Yuri's House of...
A squirrel on helium.
Okay. Do whatever.
Post collectors.
Yeah, there you go. Go ahead.
Let's see. Tired of all the hustle and bustle of the big city? Or the suburbs? Or the small town? Or the quaint village? Or anywhere the people are? Want to get away from all that traffic and noise? And buildings? And streets? And anything not grass and dirt? Do you need a nice quiet getaway where you can just run? Just run in any direction you please, as fast as you need, screaming or not. Just run free without the way of the world pressing you into the concrete of civilization. You should come to my field. Well, it's not my field per se,
But it doesn't seem to be anybody else's field either, so that's good enough. Perfect for picnics. Or sitting perfectly still and listening to the breeze rustle through the tall grass. Not a fan of tall grass? Why not rent one of our three gently used lawnmowers and shape the field to your liking? Then, come nightfall, just flop on down on your back in your freshly mowed patch of field and gaze upon a night sky like you've probably never seen before. Out in the middle of nowhere without a light bulb for miles, you'll see a sky which will humiliate your stupid, selfish soul with its gargantuan majesty. Who are you? Why are you? How much of your life have you wasted on the triviality which we mistakenly believe to be our purpose? While the rest of the galaxy has simply looked down upon your toils and laughed. All of these questions and so many more will rush through your empty, meaningless flesh cage. While you feel a tug from the center of your chest as who you truly are tries to escape into where it wishes it could be. Or you could just take a dump in the middle of the field, like in broad daylight. Because that's a free kind of feeling, too.
That's the end of Stab. One more time for your contestants. I don't know, two more times. Luke Soil! Ben! The Headshaker Rice! Barley and Me! And Jesse Jones down there. Thank you guys for coming out. If you'd like to hear more Stabs, please go to one of our many online outlets, the primary of which being stab4gold.com. Stab, the number 4, gold.com. Also, if you'd like to see our faces, go on YouTube. If you don't want to see our faces and hear our voices, go on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, all that shit. Ben Rice wants to say something.
Nope.
Ben, end the show with a message from our Lord Jesus Christ.